do like to thank the Lord's servant for that warm welcome. I always, every time I do have the opportunity of preaching, I always thank the Lord's servants and the men who asked me to preach, just to thank them for the opportunity and the Lord, because obviously you don't take it for granted, but it is always a joy to serve the Lord. Just a wee brief word of testimony. Maybe some of you don't know who I am or never seen me before, but my name is Philip Knowles, brought up there in Belfast. Most people I talk to, they say, "You don't seem to have a Belfast accent." I said, "Well, I used to hang around with all these Ballymoney and Portrush people, and they've polluted me and corrupted me and changed me now. But I was born with a heart condition. I've had four heart operations. And it was through that my next-door neighbour, who went to Sandown Road, she was a witness to my family, started to invite them to Sandown Road. No, my family are still not saved. But through that there, Sandown summer camps, I came to know the Lord. Went to high school after, was backslidden. And then 7 years later, came back to the Lord. And since then, I've been able to serve the Lord. I was here about a lot of years ago when I was going out to the land of Puerto Rico. I don't know if some of you were here but not there, but I was going out to work with deaf people, studying American Sign Language. And then I got married, have two children, they're sitting in the back, and then came back to Sandown Road. And since then, I've had opportunities of serving the Lord here. We have an extension work down in Hollywood. The Lord's blessed that I'm able to speak there every Lord's Day afternoon. And as well, this children's work has about 50 or 60 children come. So do pray for that work down there. It's a great blessing. So that's just a wee brief just testimony. Just wondering maybe who I am. So I want to say thank you for having us here today. And we trust that God will give us a blessed day today. Will you please turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Want to read just some verses there, from verses 1 through 4, talking today about being a soldier off the cross, lifting high the royal banner. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 1 through the 4. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And we'll just unite our hearts together, knowing that God will add his own blessing to his inspired word. Let's just pray and ask God afresh that he'd speak to our heart. Our Father, we ask of thee just now, Lord, that thou wilt draw very near. Lord, I ask of thee that thou wilt stand beside me. Lord, I need thy help. Lord, thy word has taught us without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we long for thy presence. Lord, we would even cry, O Spirit of God, fall afresh on me. Lord, fall afresh on each and every one of us. Lord, thou art the potter, we are the clay. Lord, mould us and shape us. And Lord, whatever thou wouldst have us to do, Lord, whatever thou would have us to go, help us, O God, to trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Come, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we live in such a day of apostasy and compromising, the word Christian today, if you ask people, what does the word Christian mean? Many people today who are not saved will give you, or sadly those who are saved as well, will start to give different answers. Some will say, well, a Christian is just someone who does good works. A Christian is just someone who helps people. A Christian is just someone who goes to church. A Christian is just someone who's religious. But yet they miss the point that one who is a true follower of the Lord, one that belongs to Christ, one that is born again. And Paul saw in his day that there was much error coming into the church of God. And he writes to Timothy, to hold fast the form of sound words. Paul was in prison. And no doubt as Paul was there, he saw many soldiers going about their duty every day. And as Paul looked at these soldiers, he could draw metaphors between them and his own personal Christian life. And he writes to Timothy, as he's noticed these soldiers, he's noticed their dedication, their desire, their duty their discipline. And now Paul writes to Timothy to say, Timothy, be thou a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness, just as a soldier has to go through certain things. Timothy, I want you to do the same. But be a good soldier, not just any soldier of Jesus Christ, but a good one, a faithful one, a usable one, one that walks well with God. And dear child of God, what a message that is for you and I, that we are not only to be soldiers of Jesus Christ, but we're to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are faithful, those who will stand for God, those who will lift up the royal banner when others have departed, when others have gone aside, yet there will still be a banner, there will still be a people that will say, I belong to God, and I am not going to go back, but I'm going to go forward, onward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. And I want us to notice that the believers are to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, notice the soldier is enlisted. And there are some points here I want to notice. And we're just going to compare, just for the first point, what it is to be a soldier and how we can relate that to our Christian life. The soldier is a selected man. For it says there, or a selected person, for it says there in verse 4 at the end, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Those who are in the army, those who are soldiers of our nation, they have been chosen there to serve their country. They have been chosen there to serve the crown. That they're to go in there to the battle. They're to go in there to give all their life to serve their country, to be pleased the crown, to please the one who has sent them, to be able to protect the nation. And dear child of God, as a soldier of the Lord, we have been chosen in his battle. We have been chosen by him. We have been purchased by him. We have been bought with the price, the precious blood of Christ, that we're able to serve him, that we're able to go into his battle and do as he says and to go where he sends. For dear child of God, our captain is the one who loves us with an everlasting love. For Paul could write to Timothy there in chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ before the world began. Dear child of God, as you seek to serve God in his battle, he is the one that leads you in the battle. He is the one that will tell you where to go. He is the one that will give grace. He is the one that will give you the strength you need to do in the Lord's army and in the Lord's battle. What a great encouragement to know that the one we serve in the battle is omnipresent, is omnipotent, is all-knowing, is all-powerful. For he is the one who knows everything. The captain in the army, though he may know where some of his troops are on this side, but he may not know everything that happens on that side, yet the Lord knows everything about each and every one of his children as they stand for the Lord, as they stand in the gap to be a testimony for his glory and his name. And dear child of God, maybe today, as you stand in the army of God, as you stand as a soldier of the cross, maybe you say, I feel like I'm one of the weakest members in the army. Maybe you'd be like Paul and say that I'm at least among all saints. And yet, friend, we always must remember it's you that he has chosen in his army. It doesn't matter where he has placed you. Some he has placed to preach. Some he has placed with the ability to pray. Some he has placed to be able to sing, to play the organ, to stand at the open airs, to give out the gospel tracts. But dear child of God, wherever it may be, it's been chosen to please him, been chosen to bring honor and glory to his own name. We always sing that hymn, I may never march with the infantry, ride with the cavalry, shoot with the artillery. I may never swim for the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Friend, I wonder today, dear child of God, can you say that there? That well, maybe you've been saying, I've been wondering about, but now I realize the Lord wants me to serve him. Friend, continue to serve the Lord. If you're not saved, oh, how you need to come and trust God. How you need to put your trust in him. Notice also, the soldier is a sacrificing man. For the soldier is called to protect his country. He is to give all and leave all, to go out there to far off lands and even at home, to be able to put his body on the line to protect the ones that he loves and the ones that are around him. And dear child of God, how you and I must serve the Lord with all our hearts, not holding anything back from him, but giving our lives to the Lord. We even sing that hymn, I surrender all, I surrender all. If you're a child of God, is there something you're keeping back of your life to the Lord? Have you given all? Have you put your life all on the altar for Him? Or is there something there that you're saying, no, I'll give you everything else except that one thing? Friend, the Lord wants you all in His battle, because if He's got not all of you, then He's got none of you. Friend, He wants your life as a sacrifice to serve Him, though it may never lead to your death, like many have gone before. We read of the reformers, those who give their life, those who were put to death, those who were there to ask to renounce their faith, yet they knew that they believed in Christ, yet they knew that they were heading for heaven, they knew that they loved the Lamb of God, which shed their sin, which shed His sin for them. Friend of God, I wonder, will you give your life afresh to the Lord today and say, I'll sacrifice whatever I have to do to serve my Savior? Notice also, the soldier is a standing man. For the soldier who's chosen to defend his country is one who heads right into the battle. He doesn't run away, for he knows what it is to go right into war. It'd be a terrible thing to have a soldier to run back and run away. And dear child of God, as you and I serve the Lord in the battle, there's a battle to fight. The hymn has said, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And how we must, dear child of God, in this day and our age, stand for the things of God. Many things in this day and our issue that are against the Word of God, that are against the God that we love and the Savior who died for us. Yet, friend, how we must stand up for Jesus. We read there in 1 Samuel chapter 7, whenever Israel went to battle against the Philistines, and how the Philistines, the army was bigger, how they had more weapons and bigger weapons. And they even confessed in that chapter, they said that they were afraid of the enemy. And dear child of God, many times when we face the enemies of the cross, yes, they're bigger. Yes, maybe they look more fearful, but they're not too big for God. For we have one who is our captain. A number of weeks ago there in Belfast, I don't know if you were able to come down, but there was that sodomite parade, the gay pride parade, where they have over 12,000 people march through Belfast city centre. And there may only be a small handful of God's people standing against them. But friend, as the hymn said, the wall forsake me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I remember Dr. Pacey saying one day that before he would ever enter a protest, his knees would always be shaken. He would always be scared. But he knew the cause that was ahead. And isn't that what David did? Whenever Goliath was defying the Lord Jehovah, whenever all the other enemies of Israel were scared to fight the enemy, David came up and said, is there not a cause? And dear child of God, there's a cause today to defend the things of God. For Paul said, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul even said, as writing to Timothy, all men forsook me, no man would stand with me. But yet the Lord upheld me, and the Lord strengthened me. Friend of God, oh, even as only one person would say, I'll give my life afresh, I'll stand for God. Yes, you'll not be popular. Yes, you'll not get the world's gain. But you'll have God's richest blessing. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Will you be that one today who will say, I'll be that one. I'll be that one that will serve the Lord afresh. Notice the soldier is also a serving one. For we are to serve the Lord. The soldier who serves the country is one who knows all the drills. They know what's been laid upon them. They have been given all the tasks, what they have to do, where they have to go. And they're not to dictate. They're not to talk back and say, well, I think this or I think that. But they are simply to go out and do what has been told for them. And dear child of God, you and I have been given a commission to go into all the world to preach the gospel. We have been told as soldiers of the cross that we have been chosen to please Him. That's to take pleasure in serving the Lord. To take pleasure in giving our lives to the Lord. Friend, are you serving the Lord today? Are you spending time with Him today, learning afresh from Him? I wonder today, dear child of God, have you learnt more about the Lord today than you did yesterday? Are you growing in grace? Are you growing in the things of God? Could I challenge you to learn something more about the Lord today than you did yesterday and tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Notice a soldier is also a suffering man. If you've ever watched the TV and you know about the troops that go out to Iraq or Afghanistan or all these other places. And there they get injuries. Some lose their lives. Some lose their families. Some lose parts of their bodies. Some lose or even are scarred. And those scars are there till the day they die. But yet, they go out knowing that they have a task to do. And dear child of God, as we've said about others already in prayer today and heard about others who suffer persecution for the things of God, the Lord even told the disciples, when you go in, you'll be hated for my name's sake. Friend, you'll not be popular. People will not even like you. I remember when I was in school and I used to tell people about the gospel. When I used to give people gospel tracts, how many would throw them away? How many would burn them? How many would say things against the Lord that we serve? Oh, you'll suffer for Christ's sake. Notice a soldier is also a seeking man. Any soldier who serves in their country does it to get a medal at the end of it all. They'll have many medals, different types of medals. They'll be honored before their sovereign. They'll be honored before the people they serve with. But that's all worldly gain. You and I, dear child of God, as we serve our Lord, we seek a crown that's above. We seek one for His glory. For Paul knew that laid up for him was a crown of righteousness, one that he would have for serving the Lord. Notice the soldier is also a man of all seasons. I say all seasons. During my time in Puerto Rico, I had a great joy of listening to a lot of people. A lot of the professors that I had, nearly all of them were either in Coast Guard or retired Navy, so it was all run very, very disciplined. But those who are out in the Army, they know what it is to work through all seasons, through the heat, through the cold, through the mud. They know what it is to have all the stuff on their back. Mr. Wagner, I don't know if you know this, but he was put in the Army when he was 19. And he said before breakfast, the people would have to do all their mile runs, maybe 3 miles or 4 miles. People would run and they would fall down and collapse down. People would be sick. People would be thrown up. People wouldn't be able to make it because of the conditions, whatever it was that they were going through, carrying all the stuff on their back. And of course, he had to go out of it through medical conditions. But dear child of God, through all the hard times, through all the testing times, we're still soldiers off the cross. For every soldier will have their personal and private battle. They'll have their public battle. But as the hymn has said, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, looking on to Jesus. And that's the key thing, dear child of God. Whenever you go through those seasons of darkness, whenever you go through those seasons where your heart's breaking, where you have the burdens of your life, look on to the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I wonder, dear child of God, is there one today, and maybe you're struggling, maybe you're in the valley, and maybe you're carrying a lot on your back and you're going through the hard times. Look on to the Lord, for He is the one that will help you in the battle. And then just quickly, the soldier is also a strict person. We say strict as in discipline. The soldier knows what it is to be drilled. Knows what it is to get up at first thing in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, or maybe earlier. Knows what it is to stand to attention. Whenever they march, everything has to be in order. Knows that discipline. And dear child of God, how we ought to be disciplined in the things of God. Disciplined in our Bible reading. Disciplined in seeking God. I wonder, is there one here today? Have you lost that discipline? Maybe you haven't read the Bible today. You haven't got before God's Word. You haven't sought the Lord. Well, before there was that discipline. Before there was never a day go by that you would say, I make sure I'll meet with God today. And maybe you were too tired and you say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll catch up and read extra. And then the next day came and you were so tired and you left it again and again. And maybe it's a day gone by, 2 days, a week, a month. Oh, the next thing that you're away from the Lord, you've lost that discipline. Friend, aren't you glad that you can come back to the Lord today? We all sing the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it with thy courts above. I wonder, will you even say, Lord, bring me back to your word today. Lord, bring me back to the place of prayer. Those times when I loved, those times that I had the great blessings. Oh God, for that closer walk with Thee. Notice as well, that was the soldier enlisted. But secondly, notice the soldier's endurance. For he says there in verse 3, therefore, endure hardness. That's to suffer ill treatment or persecution. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Noting what a soldier has to go through. All their discipline, all their dedication, going through all the hard times, away from their family, cut off from the back ends of nowhere. It's easy to give up. It's easy to be able to say they can't do it anymore. When they look at the enemy and the enemy's too big, when the enemy's too large, and yet they must come out of the battle with the same zeal that they had when they entered into it. They must come out with the same dedication as they went into the battle. And Paul writes to Timothy to tell Timothy to stand for God. Yes, Timothy, you'll be persecuted for taking your stand. You'll be persecuted. You'll be treated wrong. You'll suffer for proclaiming Christ. You'll be persecuted. People will not like you. But Timothy, continue on serving God. For you and I are partakers of the affliction. We suffer together in Christ. And Paul needed Timothy to know. Timothy, you need to be faithful. You need to stand for the things of God. For others are coming in. They're taking God's people away. They're coming in with their own ideas, their own philosophies. They're drawing the people away from the things of God and drawing them to themselves. Timothy, don't bend. Don't compromise. Don't get involved. But simply preach Christ and Him crucified. Preach the Lamb of God. And friend, you and I, we're not to compromise, but we are to endure the hardness. Oh, Paul said, Timothy, when it gets too hard, don't back down. When it gets too hard, don't throw in the towel. But keep on keeping on. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Notice thirdly, the soldier's entanglements. For it says there in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself. The word entangleth, it refers to those restrictions. It's for those things to be caught up in. It means to weave, just like the crown of thorns that were put upon the Savior. They were weeded, they were embedded in. It's one who's caught up entangled, one who is not free. It refers to one who is restricted, one who is controlled, that they are no longer free to do as they should. No man that warreth entangleth himself. They don't get caught up. They don't get restricted himself with the affairs. The word affairs there is referring to distractions, to hindrances of his life, that he may please him. The word please, as we said earlier on, it's to take pleasure. It's to satisfy. And those who serve in the army, those who go out to Afghanistan, those who go out to Iraq, it's hard. I remember when I was in Puerto Rico, and like we said, there are many of the people there. There was one man who was sent out. It was his time to go out for the year, and how he had to leave his family behind, and how the kids were crying, and they wanted their dad, and he missed all those special occasions of what we would call, but he knew that he had to go out there and serve his captain and his army. And as he was out there, Paul's saying to Timothy, don't entangle yourself. Don't get caught up in those things that will distract you. Those things that will take your mind away. For those who serve in the army know what it is to have to put things aside. Put distractions aside. For when they're out in the battlefield, they have to stay focused on the job that they've been called to do. When they're out on the battlefield, they have to be focused so they don't put others in danger around them. If their mind's not in the battle, then there'll be serious dangers. There'll be serious consequences. And Paul's saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't be distracted. Don't let those things around you hinder you. Don't get caught up in the things around you. But simply stick to the Word of God. Simply stick to the things of God. John even wrote, love not the world, neither the things are of the world. For friend of God, whenever you and I leave our houses in the morning, whenever we go to our work, whenever we go to wherever we go, we're walking into a battlefield. For we have the world, the devil, and the flesh all out to get us, all out to seek us from not serving God, all out to get us from not being able to tell souls that they need to be saved. They want to bring you down. Paul's saying, Timothy, those things that are around you of the world, don't let it hinder you. Don't let it deflect you. Don't let it distract you from doing God's will for your life. And dear child of God, what a message that is for you and I today. that don't let anything hinder you from walking with God. Don't let anything distract you, take you away from God's house, take you away from the Bible, take you away from prayer. But keep going on serving God. Keep looking to the Lord, that you may be able to please Him, that you'll be able to take pleasure in Him. For if you're not serving God, if you're not looking towards God, if you're not looking towards the Lord, if you're deflected, if you're going aside, if you're caught up in something, if you're distracted, if it's a hindrance, then you'll not please Him. You'll please yourself. Remember what happened to Samson? Whenever he met Delilah, it says that she pleased him, though she never pleased the Lord, and he got caught up in something that destroyed his life. Friend, don't lose God's blessing in your life. Don't lose what the Lord would have for you this day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. How do I please God? How do I walk close to the Lord? By staying close to God's word. By staying close to the place of prayer. By staying close to the Lord. Fourthly, and very quickly, the soldier's equipment. Certain things that a soldier needs, and we'll go through this pretty quickly here. The soldier must listen to this captain's voice. For the captain will tell the soldier what to do, where to go. Give them all the instructions they ever need. We'll tell them what mission they're going to do. Tell them how to do it, where they have to go. And dear child of God, you may ask, what does the Lord want me to do with my life? It's found in God's word. Have we listened to the Savior's voice today? Have we come to church saying, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I need a word from you today. Lord, whatever it may be, oh Lord, that idol that's in my heart, tear it from me. Have you heard the Lord speaking to you today? Have you spent time at the cross today? Would you say, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Oh, that chorus says, lead me to Calvary. Have you been at the cross today? Notice they also must not only listen to the captain's voice, but be skillful in their weapons. Be no use for a soldier not being able to use the rifle or drive the tanks or fly the airplanes. That would be a terrible thing. Or to be able to jump out of a parachute or jump out of the plane, whatever they have to do. They must be skillful in all they have to do. And dear child of God, we must be skillful in the Word of God. Can I ask you today, do we memorize God's Word? Do we know the Word of God today? If someone was the asked you a question, where could I find this? Though it's a challenge in itself. Oh friend, are we skillful in God's Word? If a soul came to you and said, I need to be saved, could we direct them how to get saved in God's word? If a soul came to you and said, I'm burdened, my heart's broken, oh, could we, friend, turn them to a word, proportion of scripture to encourage their heart? And notice the soldier must know the strategies of the enemy. They must listen to the sound of the captain's voice. They must be skillful in their weapons, but they also must know the strategies of the enemy. The enemy is ever about set booby traps, fake bombs, and all these other things that happen. And dear child of God, the enemy is ever about. We read the roaring devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's out to devour you today. He's out to destroy your life. He's out to bring your family down, to keep you all away from God. Spurgeon said this here, that Satan seeks to hinder our spiritual experience from all directions of the battle, from the dawn of the day until midnight. Whether we build a wall, he'll cast it down. Whatever we seek to do, he'll seek to destroy. Paul says to Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then just simply finally, we've looked that the soldier is enlisted, been chosen in God's army to please him. The soldier's endurance, the soldier's entanglements, don't get caught up, don't let things distract you from serving God. The soldier's equipment, but notice simply finally, the soldier's exhortation. Paul says to Timothy, don't just be a soldier, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? So we said at the start, the word good simply refers to one who is fit, one who is useful, one who is serviceable. Those who serve in their country, no doubt, will serve again. They're in one battle, they'll serve again in another battle. And each day the Lord will have you in different battles as you seek to serve him. But in everything, live your life as to be pleased unto the Lord. I wonder today, is your life fit for the Lord? Is your Christian walk serviceable for the Lord? Friend, I wonder today, is our life useful for the Lord? If God was to come down here and choose one of us, I wonder, would our lives be fit today? Would they be usable for his service? Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that he loved Christ. Paul knew that Christ was his heartbeat. He preached Christ. He prayed Christ. He loved Christ. He spoke Christ. He went through it all. He got beat up. He was put in jail. And he writes to Timothy, passes the baton on, and says, Timothy, be usable for God's service. Be fit for God's service. Be useful for God's service, that when God wants you to do something, you'll be able to do it. Don't get caught up, but be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I wonder today, as we come to the cross, as we come to Calvary, if you're not saved, will you come to Calvary and say, Lord, all this here has been said today, I'm not even a soldier of the cross, I'm an enemy of the cross. Friend, the Lord can save you. He can work in your life. I wonder, will you come today and realize and say, listen, my sin is great, but you can save me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a Christian, I wonder, will you come to the cross today and sit at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, I've been hindered. I've been distracted. I've got away. I'm not disciplined in the things of God. Father, draw me back. Draw me back. And be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you again for your time, for listening. Do pray for tonight's service, as we want to speak on Mark chapter 5 in the gospel of the lady who had the issue of blood. And we'll see how the Lord did a work in her life, and trust that the Lord can do a work in your life today. But just as we pray now, let's just still our hearts before the throne of grace. Just before we sing our closing hymn, I wonder, is there one here today that you need to get your life right with God? The one here today you need to say, Lord, I haven't been that soldier as I ought to. I've been the soldier that slacked off. I've been the soldier that hasn't been putting all my all into it. Oh Lord, here's my life afresh. Set my life on the altar for you. No more distractions, no more hindrances. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy word. Father, we rejoice that we can be still and know that thou art God. And our Father, we pray on to thee that thou wilt draw us to thyself. We pray, Lord, for souls here. Lord, give us a hallelujah time. Lord, bring souls to thyself. We pray, O God, for thine own people. Lord, draw us back to thee. Lord, send us revival, O God, just now. And Father, may we leave here saying we've got right with thee. In Jesus' name. Amen.